There is no one else like you. The Yahweh of Judah, the Holy One of Israel, the covenant-keeping God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, faithful to 1,000 generations, and we still see your faithfulness in this generation. Blessed be your holy name. We enter your word with reverence, for there is no one else like you. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We enter your word, Lord God, with fear and trembling. And ask for fresh unction and anointing. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so that indeed I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me. Those who are physically present, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word indeed, Father, with precision, to redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing mentioned in their life, agreed and said, I have a very important prophetic message. It's instructional, really, for us today. It's a message I have preached before in years past, but there is a urgency, an urgent relevance to the time and season we're living in. And of course, I've entitled it Watching and Praying Always, with the always the emphasis. Turn me your Bible to the 26th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Here we have Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane with Peter, James, and John. That's Matthew chapter 26. And I'm just going to read very briefly from verses 40 to 41. I think we're still having issues with this thing. We're working on it. Please bear with us. And he cometh. I didn't hear you. Can we open our mouths as we speak God's word? And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? This is where we get phases of prayer from. Prayers in units of an hour. I didn't pick it out of a tree. I got it from Jesus. And then he said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Notice not pray and watch. That's what I'm going to be talking about. It's not pray and watch. It's watch and pray. There is a reason. That you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm going to stop there on that. I'm going to probably come back to it. Then the second scripture is Luke chapter 21 verse 36. This is spoken particularly in the context of the end time. And again from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said, watch ye therefore and pray sometimes. Pray in time of danger. Pray when you see the devil coming to kill you. Pray when you're in serious trouble. No. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy. I didn't hear you. To escape some of these things that shall come to pass and to stand. Everybody says stand before the Son of Man. Of course, we don't have time to go there now, but the context is the end time context. He'd been talking about all the difficulties of the end time, wars, rumors of wars, you know, persecution that's going to come against the church in the end time. I don't know if I'm going to have time to talk about that today. I probably will, tangentially, glancingly, you know, I'll reserve that, you know, in more detail for another time. But I want to talk today about watching and praying always. And I want to emphasize all the three of them, really, watching, praying, and always, you know. But let me start with watching. You know, over the years, the Lord has been unbundling to me, if I can use that expression, on revealing to me what it means to watch. I guess my understanding of watching was a little bit different from what I have learned from the Lord, and I'm still learning. To watch, one of the best physical illustrations to use in these modern times in which we're living is the illustration of the television. That's what you do. You watch TV. Hello? You watch television. Isn't that what you do? That's what you do. You look at a TV screen. You watch television. So it's in that same context and understanding, I want you to understand watching. What it means to watch and pray is to see or look at the invisible presence of God that is in front of you and then pray from that invisible presence. Most people don't watch and pray because they don't have this understanding. You see, most people pray to the air. When they're praying, their prayers are not directed to the invisible presence of God that is in front of them. In fact, most people don't see God. You know, most people are either consumed with their grief or consumed with their desperation. You know, I don't want to go there right now, but a lot of prayers are prayed out of desperation and unbelief. They're not prayed in faith. And we think that the more we cry, and the more we feel sorry for ourselves, and the more we roll on the floor, and you know, that's going to move God, you know, to do something for us. Well, it could move God, because God is compassionate, amen? But you see, God's not moved by your grief, and he's not moved by your, you know, tears and all of that. He's moved by faith. Now, of course, because God is compassionate, when you're really in bad trouble, he will look for somebody to pray for if you pray in unbelief. Thank God for praying in tongues. So God can raise somebody else who is praying in faith, and then God will not divert the blessing to you. But he did it in spite of you, not because of you. Amen. Hello, somebody. And so, to watch and pray is to pray from the invisible presence of God that you are watching. That's actually the most accurate understanding of that scripture. It also means to be, you know, vigilant. Amen. In other words, you know, when you see temptation coming or you see something bad about to happen, you now pray to overcome it. Alright? So you be vigilant and you be watching, and when you see something, then you now pray. That understanding is also there. But probably more importantly, like I said, the more accurate or more contextual meaning of that verse is using the television as an illustration. You watch, then you pray. You watch, and then you pray. Why do people sleep? They're not watching. Why do people's mind wander? They're not watching. If you're praying and you are conscious of the invisible presence of God, while you are praying, you will not be looking around and your mind, you know, just going to all kinds of carnal things and sleeping. That was why the Lord said to Peter and the boys, he said, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Hello? What were they doing? They were sleeping. Why were they sleeping? They weren't watching. Hello, somebody. This concept of watching and praying is one that is going to be commonplace in this end time because of the next statement I read from the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 21. Jesus was teaching them about the end time. It's the same, you know, Luke 21 and Matthew 24 is really, it was the same time Jesus was talking. It was just recorded differently by the different authors, deliberately by the Holy Spirit, to emphasize some points in one discourse or in one recording that was not emphasized in the second recording. For example, you will find that Matthew 24 is theological and eschatological students will call the stem of end time prophecy. What do you mean by the stem? Or you can say the trunk. Why? Everything about the end time comes out of Matthew 24. All the other things, they're all branches. Matthew 24, if you look at Matthew 24 from its beginning to its end, you find that practically everything about the end time is contained there, but then it branches out into different details. So they ask him these three questions. I have gone through this before, but I will repeat it just for emphasis sake as well as for clarity. They asked him three questions, and that's how you can rightly divide Matthew 24 and, you know, explain. But the Christians who get into all kinds of theological arguments about, you know, whether the church is going to be here for the tribulation or not here for the tribulation, or whether you're going to be left behind. There's nothing wrong with being left behind. Praise the Lord. There's plenty wrong in being left behind. Amen. You know, but, you know, you can crack all kinds of jokes with left behind. But anyway, you know, because they don't understand. They asked him, what he told them, he was sitting near the temple, and then he said, "Guess what, guys? This is an Ulubi translation, you know, modern 2018 translation, but it's the same thing." You know, he was just sitting down, you know, and they were telling how beautiful the temple was, and Jesus said, "You guys don't know anything." He said, "All this temple is all going to be destroyed." He said, "There won't even be one stone left upon the other." They were shocked. Because the Jews revered their temple. The temple was the sign of God's presence. The temple was a sign of God's presence in the nation of Israel. So the Israelis revered the temple. You know, and when Jesus said that that temple was going to be destroyed and one stone would not be left, they were shocked. You know, and so, of course, Peter, James, and John and the others, respecting, by this time they had developed a very healthy respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew if he said something, it was true, and they knew he was the Christ and the Messiah. So they said, when shall these things be? But it didn't stop there. And what will be the sign of thy coming? And the end of the age. There are three questions. Until you know those, that's why we say Matthew 24 is the stem. If you don't have those three questions at the back of your mind, if you're reading, you start mixing them up.
Because there are some things he said that was for when those things will be. There were some things that he said when it was the sign of his coming. Then there were things that he said that was the end of the age. So you can go and take something that is in the end of the age and go and put it in the time of his coming. Or take something that's from the time of his coming and go and put it when these things shall be. And then you get all mixed up. It's called wrongly dividing the word of God. If you can rightly divide it, it means you can wrongly divide it. Now someone's going to say, how do we know who is rightly dividing it and who is wrongly dividing it? It depends on the scale of the anointing. That's why some ministers, you know, are more anointed and have more authority than others. It's just the truth, you know. You know, clarity of revelation and accuracy of revelation is directly dependent on the condition of the heart of the prophet or the pastor or teacher or whoever, you know, and the level of his relationship with God. Hence, we don't want to go back to that. Pastor Dewey hit on it today about Miriam and Aaron. God himself, they just delineated. He said, you know, they said, has not God spoken by us? God didn't deny it. God spoke to Miriam. God spoke to Moses. But then as I said, hey, you guys, you don't understand. He said, when I speak to prophets, I speak to them in visions and dreams with riddles and dark sayings. He said, but my servant Moses, not so. I speak to him face to face. In other words, I talk to all of you, but at different levels. That's how we know who rightly divide and who wrongly divide. So, going on to what I'm saying, and the Lord now described to them the destruction of Jerusalem. What you see in Luke 21, most of it is the destruction of Jerusalem. That's what the emphasis of the recording there. What you see in Matthew 24, he talks a little bit about the destruction of Jerusalem, and then he quickly jumps to the signs of the time of his coming, which is the time we're living in now. The time of his coming is really from verses 9 to 14. But once you move into verse 15, you've passed the time of his coming to the end of the age. And the problem here is, you know, the elect are here. Of course the elect are here, because the elect are in three companies. The man child elect goes when his coming ends. But the end of the age, some of the elect are left behind. The woman and the remnant of a seed who are persecuted by the Antichrist. Those ones are here right under the end of the age. And that's why you see certain sections of the church still on the earth during the Great Tribulation. But that's not God's perfect will. Hence, you need to watch and pray always. Let's get back to what we're talking about. And that's why he now said, watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. What? God doesn't want you to be around for all those bad things that are going to happen at the end of the age. Everything at the end of the age is the Great Tribulation, you know, which is recorded in far more detail in the book of Revelation from chapter 6 right through chapter 19. Hello, somebody. However, that being said, if you learn to watch and pray always, with the emphasis on the word always, see, that's the problem. That's where the rubber meets the road, like the Americans would say. You know, most people don't know, but a lot of people don't know how to watch and pray anyway. And then even those who know how to watch and pray, when they do watch and pray, they don't do it always. And that's what I'm teaching you today. You know, you have to learn to watch and pray always for two very important reasons, maybe three. But let me emphasize two of them that I put in my notes, you know, and see how the Holy Spirit helps me. Number one, if you watch and pray always, it will qualify you to inherit the Spirit without measure. and manifested, firstly as a borrowed anointing, then secondly as a full anointing leader. It is the prerequisite. Watch and pray always. And Pastor G, look at this. You have to, you know, everything is, that's why we need what I call comprehensive understanding. You see, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, when you're a child, you just know things in bits and pieces. You know, when you have a comprehensive understanding, you now understand how everything fits together. You see, when you hear a lot of prophetic teachers, they're just teaching this little bit here, and that's how the Word of God is, here a little, there a little. But it takes the revelation of the Holy Spirit to take the here a little, and the there a little, and the here a little, and it's like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, and you get the picture. Are you following me? Now watch this. If you inherit, and you will by His mercy in Jesus' name, that won't get the job done. Watching and praying will. Always will. But I said that to encourage you. Alright? You know, if you watch and pray always, you will qualify to inherit the glory. We call it the glory, the spirit without measure, the anointing, you know, this end time glory we're all waiting for, that is imminent. If you have that glory, you will escape all the bad things that will be happening even before He comes. The wars, the rumors of wars, the persecution. There is a universal persecution that is still yet coming to the church. As it is this day, we are living in Matthew 24, verse 8. We haven't yet stepped into verse 9. Everything we are experiencing today is only this. It's the beginning of sorrows. Wars, rumors of wars, you know, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We're not going there, we're already there. This actually, I heard Derek Prince preach on this many years ago, and I'm in 100% agreement with him. There have always been wars on the earth, come on. There have been wars since the time of Jesus. Are you listening to me? In the time of Jesus, there was the Roman Empire. Then after that, there was the, you know, Grecian Empire, or the Persian Empire, and all the other empires that came, you know, all kinds of fighting. And there's always been wars, you know, right down, you know, onto the time of Islam, which was in just, it's relatively recent. Relatively, you know, AD 600, you know, the wars in Medina and all of this, and the Turks coming in and attacking Europe, the Crusades. There's always been wars, but 1900 was different. At the turn of the century, by 1914, we had what is known as the First World War. There had always been wars, but nothing like that. All wars hitherto had been local skirmishes. In other words, they were between, you know, maybe France and England and maybe the Roman Empire. It might involve 100,000 or 500,000 men, you know, and even the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. You know, it was local. Local in the sense that it would just be in a particular geographical region. There had never been a war that spanned the entire earth. That's why it was called the World War One. It means that the coming of the Lord, things had escalated. The beginning of sorrows had escalated. And within 20 years of that war, it ended in 1918. The First World War, 1914 to 1918. It wasn't 21 years. The second one started. 1939, you know, and that lasted on 1945. These were the words of Winston Churchill. I do not quote him exactly, I paraphrase. After World War II, Winston Churchill said this. He said, mankind should not engage in this kind of folly anymore. Otherwise, it will spell the complete devastation of the human race. World War II, we came so close to destroying the entire planet, because it was then that the atomic bomb. Since then, we haven't had that kind of major escalation. where nations start throwing atom bombs at each other. We still have all these local wars, but nothing like that, and we're not praying that it will happen. Because you don't want to know about a nuclear bomb. It was Martin Luther King Jr. who was preaching, you know, his famous message on I Have a Dream, you know, in 1963. You know, I used to listen to it many years ago. I had it on tape. You know, me and my friend, I would be quoting it off head, you know, but I still remember this. He said, don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody fool you. He said, we have 20 megaton bombs in Russia, and they have it in Russia, and we have it here. He said that if by some silly mistake, you know, there's an exchange, a city like New York will cease to exist in 15 minutes. Thank God it never happened. During the what is known as the Cold War, where the Russians had their nukes directed at the major cities in America, and the Americans had their own directed at the major cities in Russia. And every time they came so close, especially in 1962, at the Bay of Pigs, when JFK was still president, it was so close. All it just is one guy to press the button, and the other guy presses his button, and then the buttons keep getting pressed. Oh, there'll be nothing left. We'll destroy the whole earth. Man has the capacity now to destroy the whole earth. Thank you, Pastor Guiga, many times over. I'm talking about thousands of times over. The bombs we have now will make Hiroshima and Nagasaki look like firecrackers. Oh, yeah. Well, I will see all of that. That's what Jesus, when he said, "You, there will be wars and rumors of wars, you know, and all of these things." He says, you know, he said, but the end is not yet by and by. You know, the man wants you to know when it is. So he says, when is the rumors? And he said, don't get worried. It's not, you know, it's not now. And then he went on to say in verse, move down to verse 7. Yeah, we are here too. Nation, we're still seeing all of this. Iraq and Syria and, you know, Lebanon and Hamza. All these terrorists. All this still, as I'm talking today, all this is still going on. Famines, pestilences, AIDS, earthquakes. It's every day. We're living here now in verse 7. Verse 8. This is not the end. It's just the beginning. That's why I said what I said earlier on. Anybody who tells you that things are going to get better is telling you a lie. The trouble has just started. But the good news is, if you will learn to watch and pray always, you will escape all of these things. He didn't say the things will not happen. He said you will escape them. And that's why I'm teaching you what I'm teaching you. You understand? So the Christian who learns to watch and pray always will be able to escape the dangers of the end time. Because they're escalating. As the years progress towards the coming of Jesus, they are escalating. Are you listening to me? Verse 9. Oh, Jesus, help me. Then shall they deliver you up. Now, this hasn't happened yet. This is what we're about to step into. We're still in verse 7 and 8. Amen? We're about to step into verse 9 now. Then, people don't like this scripture. There's no amount of, it's not my portion in Jesus' name, no, that's going to stop this. You better hear what I'm saying here. There's only one way out of this. Watch and pray always. And we are going to be here. This one is not left behind. We're going to be here. We're still going to be on the earth between verse 9 and verse 14. We only go up before verse 15. But between verses 9 and 14, we're here. In the nasty here and now. But the good news is, if you will learn how to watch and pray always, you will escape all these things. I think it's worth learning how to watch and pray. always. Are you listening to me? Watch and pray, not occasionally. Mercy, Lord. Can you see you need the mercy of God? It takes the mercy of God to be faithful to watch and pray always. Watch and pray always cannot be done by Gragra. It is not of him that runneth. It is not of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy to watch and pray always. Is it clear? And so here, he says, I'm not going to deal about this. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Ah! What do we do for them? As at today, we're not hated of all nations. They don't hate us in Nigeria. They don't hate us in the US. They don't hate us in England. They don't hate us in Germany. As at today. So we must do something. Something must have happened to make them hate us. Let me just summarize it for you. It's the manifestation of sons of God. The manifestation of sons of God is what's going to trigger the hatred of all nations. And I'll tell you the reason. There are two or three reasons. But one of the main reasons is going to be envy. Because the church is going to suddenly arise. And she's going to become the most powerful institution on the earth. She's going to be most powerful financially. She's going to be, it says, they shall see you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. You will be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. You will lend unto many nations. So is it not these people? The second reason is going to be anger. Envy and anger. And I'll tell you why the anger comes. As the glorious church arises, this man-child perfection Zion church arises with the glory of God. Bible says, watch this, Pastor G, after the glory he has sent me to the nations. We don't move until the glory comes. The glory is our signal to start moving. So we now start moving to the nations, and as we go into the nations, we go with one message, the message of the kingdom. And the message of the kingdom says this, and this is where the problem is going to start. Jesus and Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't have Jesus, you are going to hell. And that's going to spark a lot of problems. Especially when that message is backed with power and demonstrated with miracles and healings and power, and a lot of their people start turning to the gospel, then they will say, you know nothing at all. If we stay like these men will take the whole nation away. It is better for us to kill them. That's what's going to make them hate us. And then they're going to come after us. But if you learn to watch and pray always, you'll escape it. See why watching and praying always so important now? See, I want you to learn it now before we enter verse 9. We can enter verse 9 tomorrow. The glory is imminent. Because once the glory comes, we've entered verse 9. Now, good news. You know, they won't start arresting us the next day. Are you listening to me? It'll take about a year, year and a half, two. You know, when the impact of what we're doing starts being felt. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? He built an idol. That guy must be crazy, the Pastor G. And said everybody must bow to his idol. Today in this end time, nobody's going to, you know, at least not yet. The Antichrist is going to do one later on. But, you know, they're not going to build an idol. But what they're going to say is that, don't say that too. Don't say it's Jesus only. We all worshiping the same God. Have you heard that before? We are worshiping the same God. We know different people have different. You know, God is so diverse. So he has made different ways to God. So, you know, these people have their own way to God. This other person has his own way to God. This other person has his own way to God. This one also has his own way to God. And we can all live like a nice, nice, you know, happy human family. So why are you now saying that your own way is the only way? My brother and my sister, my friend, don't say that anymore. Because if you say that, we are going to fight. Then we'll say, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. The God who we serve is able to deliver us. But be it known unto you that this Jesus alone is Lord, and there is no other name under heaven whereby we might be saved except the name of Jesus. That's what's going to cause the contention. And then we will go on further to say, which will provoke great wrath and anger. But we are going to say it.
Amen.
And what we will say, the things the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice not to God, but to devils, and the whole place will blow up. Amen. But if you watch and pray always, you will escape. Do you see how important learning now to watch and pray always is? Oh, it's coming. That's why we're going to be hated of all. These things I've told you, it's going to make us, that we hate us. That we hate us in all nations. Now, the Lord gave me clarification this morning. You know, revelation is progressive and continuous. He said, the good news is, and it's kind of good news, you know, in everything there's always a silver lining, praise the Lord. He said, the good news is that they won't hate, all nations won't hate you all at the same time. It says, as you go to each nation with the glory, and you come into conflict, and you clash with the religious and political leaders, then in that particular nation at that time they will hate us. Then we'll go to the next one. We defeat them, we go to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. So by the time we go around all nations would have hated us. Oh, it's coming. Are you listening to me? I'm not hearing any hallelujahs. Nobody seems to be. And people don't like end time message. You know, I'm teaching you what's going to keep you alive.
Amen.
The days ahead are not easy days, but you will overcome them. That's why it says, you've been counted worthy to escape all these things. Oh, difficult days are ahead of us. As we begin to manifest the glory of God. You see, the gospel we're going to preach is not this diluted gospel that's been preached today. We're going to tell them the real truth. That if you don't get to know the Lord, you're going to go to hell. Amen. These things you're doing to devils. Imagine to go to somebody's country and tell him that you're sacrificing to the devil. He's going to get mad. Or tell him that his religious book came from the devil. His holy book is not a holy book. That it is from the devil, and it is. Everybody's being very careful. But it's the truth. We're going to stick for it. They're going to get angry with us, but chill. Now, let me take you back to the story of Nebuchadnezzar, and then we can move on. Remember, they didn't bow. The boys didn't compromise. We will not compromise. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm not going to compromise. Hallelujah. I will walk in love. I'll be kind. I'll be respectful. But I'll not compromise. Notice, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not rude to Nebuchadnezzar. They gave him his honor. They said, O king. But we are not careful to answer you in this matter. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And guess what? If he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to change. And you've got to get to that point. Most Christians I know are still afraid of death. Christians who are afraid of death cannot enter verse 9. Or should I say, will not survive verse 9. Because the prerequisite of the overcomer in these end times is that he overcomes by the blood of the Lamb to cleanse his sins, the word of his testimony to get life, and then not to love his life unto the death.
Amen.
Does that mean you're going to die? No, you will not die, but you have to be ready to.
Amen.
Notice Esther. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. She was ready to die. Did she die? Did she come and beg to go die? You will not die. That's God a word. Hallelujah. You're operating under a better testament, established upon better promises. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not die, and Esther did not die, you will not die. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. That's a word there. You are living under a better testament established upon better promises. But learn now to watch and pray always. That's how you're going to escape. The second reason why you have to learn to watch and pray always is so that you will be raptured with the man-child. It is the prerequisite for getting the glory, then using the glory to survive what I call the tribulation of the church. It's not the great tribulation. Verses 9, Matthew 24, 9 to 14, describe what I call the tribulation of the church. That's when we're going to be hated of all nations, and these things I've spoken about will happen. But it's not going to last for long, folks. It's not going to last for long. Maybe about 7 years. You know, the first 1.5, 2 years, there'll be no problem. Because we'll be preaching people. The glory will, first of all, dazzle everybody. You know, and then, you know, because we're so nice, and we're nice, because we're God's children. God's children are nice. Are you listening to me? We're going to be nice. We're going to raise the dead. You know, the politicians, the daughter is sick. We'll go and pray for them. They get healed. We'll raise, somebody dies in their family. We'll raise him from the dead. We bless them, this and that. You know, and you would think that if you did all of that for people, they'll be all right. But they're not. Nebuchadnezzar proves it. Didn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream? When Nebuchadnezzar had nobody to interpret his dream. It was Daniel, but not Daniel alone, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Go and read the Bible. That interpreted, he was confused. His peace went from him. He was going to kill all his magicians. And he called and said, no, don't let the king be hasty. He brings down that they have an all-night prayer meeting. God reveals the thing. He says, Nebuchadnezzar bows and says, yes, this God is a the same Nebuchadnezzar. He bows and said, this God is a great God. And he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, didn't he? The same person put them in the furnace of fire. Don't be deceived. The human heart will not change simply because it was blessed. You better get ready. The human heart will not change simply because you are a channel of some material or physical blessing to them. They will only change if they repent and accept Jesus. Many people want the blessing, but they do not want the commitment. They want the healing, they want the deliverance, they want the prosperity, and the church is so nice because we are like God. We allow the blessing to go both on the good and the evil. We will give to the good and to the bad and even to the ugly. I'm telling you, you're going to see it in this end time. People will call us to people's houses that you won't go to normally. And we will go and we will bless them. Raise the dead. Heal their sick. And the same people, 6 months later, a year later, will put you in a furnace of fire. Like Nebuchadnezzar. I'm telling you this up front so you will not be offended. I'm telling you this up front so you'll be ready. Are you listening to me? These things are coming. So, that's why you need to learn now to watch and pray always. Because if you learn how to watch and pray always, you will have the glory, and that glory will be your rear guard. It will protect you from these attacks that are coming. Certainty, as sure as the dawn. The Christian that doesn't learn how to watch and pray will be steamrolled. So you got to learn it so you can be strong. Have you ever considered that scripture in Psalm 91? 1,000 at your right hand, 10,000 at your left hand, high casualty rate. He was talking prophetically about the end time. I mean, it's a general principle, but he was talking, okay, how many places do you see 1,000 people dying here and 1,000 here? That's why you will escape. The guy who learns how to watch and pray always, he will escape. Only with thy eye shall thou see and behold the reward of the wicked. We're going to see a lot of stuff going on around us. But chill, man. Turn to your neighbor and say, chill, man. You're going to be all right. Because you're going to learn how to watch and pray. If Pastor Luby has anything to do with it. You will hear this thing until you get it. I'm going to keep drumming it into you until you get it. Because I love you and I want you to survive. sadly and regrettably, not all Christians will survive in what's coming. Sadly and regrettably. It's not the will of God, but that's why it says, you know, if you read in some of the other translations, it says, some of you shall be killed. Thank God he didn't say all. So you don't have to be part of the sum. But not to be part of the sum, you have to learn to watch and pray always. If I haven't convinced you yet of the importance of watching and praying always, I don't think I can convince you anymore. You know, like they say in court, the prosecution rests. Now, let's move on. So you understand the prophetic context of watching and praying always. To survive, to be able to overcome. I don't like the word survive. Survive means you're under pressure. You know, we are the masters. Are you listening to me? We're not the ones running away and they want to kill us. Nah, we are the stronger one. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's not them. It's not us who is going to be afraid of them. It is them who are going to be afraid of us. The whole thing is changing because we're coming into our own. The church is coming into its full glory. Hallelujah. A glorious church, not having spot, blemish, or wrinkle. We're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. They will send soldiers to your house, or SSS, or whatever they call themselves. And they say they come to you, and you will step out and say, I am he, and they will fall down. Amen. And we're not the lamb that is being led to the slaughter. Jesus has already done that. We will stand. And we will survive. Not only will we survive, we will prevail. Not only will we prevail, we will conquer. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. This is a 21st century militant Zion church mentality. These aren't just words. It's reality. You've got to wake up, folks. Oh yes, they will come against you. This is, they will come against you one way, they will flee seven ways. Then they will go around talking to each other and say, that people, God is with them. And they shall be afraid of you. Remember Elijah. Remember the end time church is going to be like the Elijah church. He says, the end time, I will send unto you Elijah the prophet. Now, one of the characteristics of Elijah and Moses, you know, but Elijah in particular, you know, was he was able to call down fire from heaven. I remember, you know, some of our brethren are doing that now in a negative kind of way. Every small thing, fire, fire, fire. Now, that's childish stuff. And most of it is demonic. But I'm talking about the real thing now. Now, God's not going to do this every day. But it will happen once in a while. People will come to try and kill the man of God or the woman of God or their family, and fire will come. It won't even be the man who calls it. God will just do it. You can understand why they'll be afraid of us. Remember that guy who came from the king? They brought three companies. The first one came, fire came, boom, consumed them. The second one came, fire came, boom, consumed them. The third one came, he said... He said, oh, man of God, look down with mercy upon this. Is this Ahab that sent me? I don't want to come. Be merciful. Don't consume me and my 50. And the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, don't worry, he's all right. Let him come. I didn't touch him. All those things are coming back. That's why they will be afraid of us. But it will only happen with people who know how to watch and pray always. You know, we sing those songs. These are the days of a life. This is the reality. It's not song. Hallelujah. I don't know if I've helped anybody here. It's kind of quiet in here. So I can't say, Pastor OJ, I don't like this end time preaching. You gotta like it, son. Hallelujah. It's meant to keep you alive. You will live, you will not die. You will live, you will not die. That's why we're being equipped. Now, let me say a little bit more about watching and praying always. I said, you know, you watch and then you pray as a consequence of what you see when you are watching. That's why it's watch and pray. You watch and pray. You watch and pray. You watch and pray. This is going to be likened to what happens when, you know, typified. Pastor Dioye spoke on this on Wednesday. Remember when the men were rowing the boat, the disciples, after Jesus had fed the 5,000, and then they were going to the other side in the middle of the night. Jesus packed them off, and they were in a boat. They were in a small boat, and you know, they were going to the other side. Jesus goes to the mountain to go and pray, and spends all night. This is about maybe 2-3 a.m. in the morning, you know. So they are rowing and rowing, rowing, but the wind was contrary. So even though they were rowing and rowing, rowing, they hadn't got to the other side, and they were, you know, they were disturbed. They were thinking, "Wow, we don't know what's going to happen." So Jesus starts walking on the water. It was middle of the night. Can you imagine how dark it was with water? Now that's real walking on water. It wasn't 100 meters. It is the Sea of Galilee. He must have walked 2-3 kilometers on water. But it is in the middle of the night when it won't attract attention. Just having a leisurely, nice walk around 3 a.m. in the morning, enjoying the breeze of the sea. After all, he is the master of the universe. The sea was what he made. So it was not a difficult thing for him to walk on it. Hallelujah. Archimedes' principle says that you have to displace the amount of water to give the upthrust. And Jesus said, we overthrew that law just for this meantime. Amen. All, you know, keep the upthrust up no matter how much water is displaced. A man walks on water. You know, it wasn't for 2 minutes. It was quite a walk. He walked from the other shore. These guys were already, they had been rowing all night. So they were past halfway, but they hadn't yet got to the other side. So the Lord Jesus walks on the water around 3 a.m. in the morning. So they see him. They're inside the boat. And there's a lot of wind and all of that, you know. And they're tired. And then they see a figure on the water. Ah, Emerere. some demon. Is it a fear? Is it a ghost? You know, all the superstition. And well, it was still like that. You know, and Jesus tells them, there's a little bit of translation, chill. He says, be not afraid, it is I. And of course, they knew his voice. So when they heard that it was his voice, they relaxed. So he walks right up to the boat on the water. It's very interesting. Peter doesn't ask to come on at that time. I wouldn't think so. You know. Anyway, he gets into the boat, and then something miraculous happens. Immediately enters the boat. There suddenly, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Suddenly, they were at the other side. Rowing now is like our watching and praying. As we're watching and praying, watching and praying, watching and praying, suddenly the Lord will come to his temple and boom, we're on the side of glory. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's the next thing on the timetable. So don't stop rowing. Don't stop watching and praying. Those who are watching and praying always, it is to you. Do you know who he comes suddenly to? Those who are seeking. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come. If you're not seeking, he won't come to you suddenly. It's the guy who is watching and praying, seeking, that he will suddenly come. And once he comes, your boat is suddenly on the other side. Amen. The glory side. Amen. The side of the Spirit without measure. Amen. Am I talking to anybody here? Okay, having established that and said that, oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen. Okay. So, we're living in that time now, you know, in this transition. Now, it's very important to realize, like I said earlier on, we're going to look at two or three scriptures here on watching. I've said it, but I want to look at two or three scriptures just to solidify it inside our hearts. we shared this the last time from Psalm 16 verse 8. I have set the Lord always. Bible says, watch and pray always. You see that word always recurring. Look at Psalm 16 and look at verse 8. I didn't hear you. Don't your neighbor say, who's I? Say, you and me. It's us. I decide to do this. I do it by faith. I didn't hear you, have set the Lord occasionally when I'm in trouble, when I'm desperate, before. This is how to watch and pray always. If you don't set the Lord before you always, you will not watch and pray always. So you do that. Let me tell you what I do. Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. This is my own personal practice. I've been doing this now. I started in 2002. So this will be 16 years. I do this every day. What I'm about to tell you. Every day. Literally. I mean, maybe once, one or two days I miss. But I'm talking about 90%, 99% of the time. When I start praying in the morning, when I get up in the morning, you know, I say, Father, I confess my sins. Just now, I ask for life and power to pray effectually and fervently. Then I go into my, I do, you know, the love prayers, you know, and all of that, you know. And then when I start praying in the Spirit, when I do my last scriptures, as I start in my last scriptures and all that, I set the Lord before me. I do it every day. I do it every day. And I use three scriptures to do it. There are others, but I use three. I set the Lord Jesus. And I use the scripture, I start with God, the Holy Spirit, excuse me. It doesn't really, the order doesn't really matter. But I use the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is the resident Lord on the earth. You see, the Lord Jesus and the Heaven and Father are in heaven, even though their presence is here on earth. But the Holy Spirit is right here with us. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes we have all these religious ideas. You need to understand something, that each person of the Godhead had his dispensation. In the Old Testament, it was Jehovah the Father. In the interim between the two testaments, it was the Lord Jesus who came down to the earth as man. In the church age, it is the Holy Spirit. All of them have been here with us. Of course, God is there, omnipotent, is everywhere. But the person of the Holy Ghost is right here. And he moves around, you know. Hello? He's got this chariot of cherubims. They carry him. The man moves him. He's God. You know, he moves. Go and check him out in Ezekiel chapter 28. You know, God does all these, you know, cherubims. They're carrying him. There's a throne on top of the thing. The man sits on it from top to bottom, fire. That's the Holy Ghost for you. He's a real person. So I go to Ezekiel 8:2. Just for a few seconds, I just read it again. I put the picture in my mind. The Holy Spirit at my right hand. Then in front of me, I have the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. You know, and you have the picture of Jesus in the middle of the churches, and he has this gold band around his chest. You know, and he's got a white garment right down, and his countenance is like the sun. I set that before me. Then I set the presence of the Father before me. Amen. He that sits, Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. It says, and I saw one person sit upon the throne, and it's like a jasper and a ruby stone. Hallelujah. And around the throne was a rainbow. I set it before me. I do it daily. Now it's been so built inside me because I've done it for years. Now whenever I pray, we prayed today, so many times we prayed today. We've prayed for Nigeria. We've prayed for people who are having birthdays. There is no time I pray. I always watch. As I want to start praying like this, I have the Lord Jesus on my right hand, you know, in front of me rather. I have the Holy Ghost on my right hand. And it is from that presence I pray. So I watch and pray. So, Father, I confess my sins to clean with the blood. I see the blood being sprinkled by the Lord Jesus. I'm not just praying, you know. You know, then I say, in Jesus' name, I have life. When I say, in Jesus' name, I have life, you know, life comes from the Father. As the Father has life in himself, so has he given the Son to give life. Then the power of the Holy Spirit comes to help me pray in tongues. So I'm praying from the presence of the three persons of the Godhead. I am watching and praying. I'm not just talking things that don't have meaning and don't have reality. That's what it means to watch and pray. Now let's add the rider. Now do that always. No, we'll get there. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll soon be through. Amen. Remember, Jesus used to pray, preach for hours. How many people remember? So you're having it easy. Praise the Lord. Jesus used to keep them for 3 days. How many people remember? It wasn't like now. There was no auditorium. I said there was no auditorium. There was no air conditioning. There was no microphone. They were just out in the wilderness. And the man would start preaching in the morning. They would preach, teach them things about the kingdom. You know, they'll be like that until evening. They'll go and find somewhere to sleep. They'll come back. They were with him like that for 3 days. I don't remember. So I've just kept you a few hours. So just say thank you, Lord. You know, this generation is a spoiled generation. You know, any little inconvenience. The things I'm giving you cannot buy them with money. So you should be grateful and not complaining in your heart. I don't know, that was for some people. If it wasn't for everybody. So we watch and pray always. Now how do we do this? I'm just going to give us two or three scriptures and I close. One. I've told you what it is to watch and pray. We've settled that one. Now, the always is the problem. And the scripture does not leave us in darkness. It says that in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 7, you know, it says when you wake up, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the wayside, and when you lie down at night. That's where we get once every 6 hours from. That's just like at least four mentions. It doesn't mean it's only four. It just means that you should be talking to God and talking the word of God all day long. That's what I emphasized when Pastor Dewey taught. And I talked about meditation. Meditation not only involves thinking, it also involves saying. Because when you say, you release the power that gives light to your mind to think. The power is inside the word that you say. So when you say, Father, I confess my sins and clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. You know, don't just say it like a parrot. See, I say, Father, I you know, when I pray, when people pray with me, many times I will repeat it because I know it didn't register. You know, I say, Father, I confess our sins to clean with the blood. Then I emphasize all unrighteousness. You know why? There's a picture in my mind. The picture is the sprinkling of the blood upon my neighbor region that doesn't cleanse me from some sins, cleanse me from everything at that time. So by the time I say in just name I have life, the life flow is going to be maximal.
Yes, sir.
I do that in faith. You know why? Because I'm watching and praying. Then I say in Jesus' name we have life. Again, I visualize or picture the life of God flowing through that navel into my belly. That is, you know, my inner man. Then I pray for the next life scripture, or Father strengthen me, or whatever it is, you know, and the power of God. This is the power of the Holy Spirit now. See, Father gives life, the Holy Spirit gives power both inside and outside. And then he amplifies that thing and sends thing out and gives commands to the angels. And the whole ball game is set into motion. Praise the Lord. I see all that when I pray. So I'm praying in faith. You know, like Elisha, you know, when that guy was afraid, Gehazi, no wonder why he was afraid. You know, he said, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see that there are more for us than there are against us. And then he saw angels of chariots. They're always there. They are always there. I have an angel behind me right now. Come and mess with me, you will find out. Tobacco and go. tall angels. That was there. Now, I don't go about looking for visions of angels. Now, this is a very important point I'm about to make. I always focus on God, not things. Then the God who I focus on will bring the things. If I need a car, or I need a contract, or I need whatever I need. So instead of trying to visualize things, that will lead you to idolatry. I visualize God. And then the God I visualize will give me anything I want. Very important. So I don't have things in my heart. I have God in my heart. Is this clear? Hallelujah. The same thing goes for angels. I don't go about visualizing angels. I visualize God. And the God I have in my heart will command the angels. So I don't go and start seeking visions of angels or visions of, you know, of things. No, you know. He didn't say, I have set angels before me. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. Very careful so you don't cross the line into idolatry. So, this is how we watch and pray. Always. We watch and pray. Now, God help me. Hey, hallelujah. Am I helping anybody here? So, Deuteronomy 6:7. At least once every 6 hours. That's why there are other supporting scriptures like 2 Samuel 6:13, when they were carrying the ark, which represents the glory, and every six paces they would sacrifice. You know, typifying every 6 hours. Mark 13:35. You know, in the morning. You know, in the midnight, at cockcrow. You know, at noon. You find the four of them are there. So we start with every 6 hours, then. As you do the every 6 hours, because of the power of God that you release into the air, because of that prayer, you understand? When you see, the Holy Ghost knows what's coming, you don't know. So, when something is coming, they'll just give you an opportunity. He'll prime you again. Don't say, I've already done the 4 times. It's not 4 times. You understand? It's always. The 4 times is just the foundation to give you impetus to move to always. So as you're along the way, I being in the way, the Lord led me. So what's going to happen is that you just find, maybe you're going to the toilet, like Pastor Joey was teaching us on something. I have a meeting. I'm in a meeting. It happens to me all the time. I might be driving a car, I might be in the airport, I might be going somewhere. I'll just have a pause, you know, and God say, pray. It might not be more than 2 minutes. This is the Father, I confess my sins, clean with the blood, in Jesus' name I have life. I just pray in spirit, just for a few minutes. That's all. Later, you will now find that it was preparation for something else to come. Amen. So, once every 6 hours, then at every opportunity, and then in every temptation. So, by the time the temptations come, you're already primed up. So, when the temptation comes, amen. The wisdom and the power to be able to overcome the temptation is already available because of the foundation you have laid. I'm talking about watching and praying always. This is how to do it always. Are you listening to me? Hence, the scripture now says, no temptation will come against you that is not common to man. But with the temptation, God will make a way of escape. Everybody shout, escape. Say it again, that you may be able to bear it. What is the way of escape? Watching and praying always, that you may be accounted worthy to shout that word again. Link the escape of Luke 21:36 and link it to the escape of 1 Corinthians 10:13, and you get an understanding. The way of escape is inside the watching and praying. As you watch and pray always, through three things will happen. You will see, have the wisdom and the strength to see and to walk in the way of escape. So when they come to arrest you, all of a sudden, nobody will touch you. And you just walk through the crowd. Remember Jesus? The man was watching and praying. Always. So as I'm preaching to you now, I am preaching, I'm not praying, but I'm praying. What is prayer? Communion with God. So God, there's always this constant communion and fellowship, which I have made a habit. I pray. You know, once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, in every temptation. So there's this constant flow of life, power, and communication between you and God. So it doesn't really matter where you are, what you're doing. There's this, you know, the you cannot understand what we call the grace. We say it religiously, but it has meaning. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion. Koinonia. The communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. That's literally what happens when you learn to watch and pray always. The communion of the Holy Spirit is there. So whenever any issue is coming up, the presence, I have said the Lord always. The presence of the Lord is there, the wisdom that is necessary, the power that is necessary, the love that is necessary, the patience that's necessary, the gentleness that's necessary, the goodness that's necessary, the faithfulness that, whatever it is, it will be there ready for you to use. That is why you will escape all things. No matter what is coming, you'll be ready for it. And you will overcome it. In Jesus' name. And this is how to watch and pray always. It is a culture that needs to be developed. You keep working at it. Like those guys who are rowing on the boat. You keep working at it. You keep working at it. But if you never set it and make up your mind to start practicing, you will never do it. One last thing I need to say. Praying in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer, you know, tongues, groaning, and all of these things, is very necessary in the background. That's why you get up early in the morning. You see, Jesus' pattern was, he would get up early in the morning and do what we call concentrated prayer. Then throughout the day, he's just topping up. Once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, and in every temptation. Those ones are short prayers. You know, 1 minute here, 2 minutes here, 1 minute there. But they all are based on the foundation of the early morning prayer that has a solid foundation. You know, where you pray for 1 hour, 2 hours. Is this clear? And then one other thing there is this. this is about this good news. You know, you see, young Christians who just got born again recently, they can't pray for 1 hour. God knows that. But they can watch and pray always. They can do the 1 minute, 2 minute. So through covering, God will give them covering through the prayers of the ones who are more mature. So that is why on the day of rapture, even the guy that got born again yesterday, that is watching and praying, that is a part of the Zion church, he will go through the covering of them. That's why it's man child. Nobody will be left behind. The prerequisite for this thing is not perfection. The prerequisite is watching and praying always. Let us pray. Talk to God. Anybody can learn this. Anybody, even children. In fact, the easiest people to teach, go and teach them in children's church. If you teach children, they'll be doing it more diligently than you. Watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape the vagaries of the tribulation of the church and to escape the great tribulation. You escape both if you learn to watch and pray always. So if you haven't learned it or you have not started practicing it, start practicing now. I know many of us here are already practicing it. So keep practicing it, keep practicing it, keep practicing it. And if you haven't started practicing it, start practicing it ASAP. Because we can move from verse 8 to verse 9. The day the glory lands, we make the transition from verse 8 to verse 9. The good news is that verse 9 won't start immediately. Even after the glory, it will take about a year or two. Because until the impact of the glory of the church is felt, that persecution will start. Initially, it would just be, you know, even in the Acts of the Apostles, remember, everybody was healed, 3,000 on the first day, 5,000, everybody was happy, and even many of the priests became Christians. And it was after that the Pharisees woke up and said, hey, wait a minute, what do you do with these boys? Hello? Am I talking to anybody here? Have I helped anybody this afternoon? Amen. Don't allow any physical inconvenience to distract you from the Word of God. We just had an incident, maybe the generator and all of that. Not like that. You know, what we're talking about is far more important. This generation must learn to endure hardness. I didn't even, those are extra scriptures I was going to preach, you know, but I didn't get there. But I think I've said everything God wanted me to say. The Bible says Moses endured as seeing him that is invisible. You want to endure in this end time, you have to see the invisible. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are... What are we looking at? We're looking at the presence of the Father, the presence of the Lord Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the angels of God. While I'm waiting for the physical manifestation, I have something I'm looking at, so I don't get distracted. Am I talking to anybody else? We stand in the midst of a multitude of those from every tribe and tongue. We are your people, redeemed by your blood, rescued from death by your life. Hallelujah.
Your glory reveals.
afternoon. I didn't intend to do that, but it's a declaration of war upon the kingdom of darkness. We just gave them their marching orders. We are on the onset of the greatest spiritual war the earth has ever seen. It's already started, actually. It was already war in the heavens. But we're going to see it on the earth. And God is looking for serious soldiers. This prayer we're about to pray is a very serious prayer. I'm going to say it again, what I said many times during the preaching. You're going to live, you will not die. You know, folk, get rid of this fear of death. Who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage? You don't want to be subject to bondage for the rest of your life. You're going to live. You will not die, but you'll be ready to die. You see, you are not going to die. But the attitude is very important. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of, and they loved not their life. You must get to that point. You must have that mind. Because, folks, let's face it, think it through. If you die, you're going to heaven. So what's the big deal? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Hey, come on, man. Did he mean it or didn't he mean it? It's true. Now, we're not going to die. We're not going to die before our time. Amen. But serve notice on Satan. And serve notice on all his courts that, look, I'm in this army and I'm not afraid of you. The earth is the Lord's, fullness thereof, and the people and they that dwell therein. And you know what? He bequeathed it to us. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thy inheritance. And the uttermost part, it has already been bequeathed to us. We have received our marching orders. Once the glory comes now, to start taking over every tongue, every tribe, every land, and every people. We will invade every tongue, every tribe, and every land, and every people with the glory of God. And from each of them, we will take a hostage for the kingdom. There will be no tribe, there will be no tongue, there will be no kindred where we will not get disciples. We've just given Satan and his guys, we've just told them, get ready, we're on the way. Now put that hand up. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, reminding me of the strategic and vital importance of learning and practicing, watching and praying always, so that I will be accounted worthy to escape the dangers of this end time, and also to escape with the catching up, the rapture of the man child. Oh God, oh God, oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to take these words seriously. Help me, Lord, to set the Lord always before me and pray from that presence, to watch and then to pray always. Help me to cultivate this habit, to live constantly in your presence and have your glory to be my rear guard and my protection, so I will have no fear. No matter what I face, I know you will make a way of escape through my watching and praying, and help me to overcome it. No matter what the enemy throws against me, I will quench it with a shield of faith. I will overcome. I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I am not afraid of the devil. He is afraid of me. I am not afraid of the world. The world is afraid of me. You said in your word, Lord, that you have given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. I believe your word. I thank you that perfect love that you have taught us through watching and praying by the blood, the word, and the spirit truly casts out fear. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Nekatalamankarofrenes. Ha ha ha. Likatofrenes. Zikatofrenera. Lombrikitofrenias. Zikatofrene. Lambrakatolomashalakiko. Zeli prikitofrene. Tolomashalengardolomitofria. Lombria katofre. Lombrokrokrom. Zifridofres. Zelengar katufrenus. Zelekitufri. Longer the chromatur. Tolomashaki kuku. Vrea tufri. Longer tolomasha. Longer chromatulum to free the flesh. Tokramatulumakromatulum to free the flesh. Tokramakuk. Tolomakromatuk. Tolomakromakrom. Tolom to free the flesh. In Jesus' name, put your hand on your body. I'm just going to pray for your healing. Just a simple prayer, and to meet our needs. God is a merciful God. He wants to keep us healthy and strong, and then he wants to meet our needs, so we'll be encouraged, and physical things will not be a distraction. Say, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added. God wants to give us all these things so that we can focus on the job. These things are tools to be used for the job. They're not things to play with. They're things given to us so that we can concentrate and get the job done. The job is the possession of the nations. Ask of me and I will give the heathen for thy inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. That's our job. We can't do it without the glory. But once the glory lands like this, we're about to take off. And it's because the glory is so close that it's had us preach this message. Because we're going to hit the ground running. Hallelujah. Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. I pray for everyone on the sound of my voice. Those who are watching on television or YouTube. Everybody that has a physical ailment in the body. In the name of Jesus, I command that sickness leave. In Jesus' name, I release healing power, resurrection, life, and power into your body from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. I say you are healed in Jesus' name, and I release it into your internal organs. Everywhere where cancer may be developing, where any kind of distortion of your cells or your DNA is taking place, I reverse. In Jesus' mighty name. And every need, financial, material, circumstantial, that is distracting you, I command the need to be met now in Jesus' name. Ministry spirits, go forth and execute the perfect will of God for their healing and for their needs. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Done. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You know, folks, most people don't understand what we're about. Church is not a place. We're about to face the most intense conflict in human history. The conflict of the ages. And thank God you've been coming to this church, many of you for 20 years, some of you more than that, some 10, some 15. Everything you're going to go and learn, go and brush it up. Brush it up. Thank God the weekly remas are there. You can go into the internet now, go and check. See what I preached 10 years ago and watch and pray. I preached in 2006. I think I preached it again not too long ago. And I preached it now again. Go check, you know, and start. You see, the key to this thing is practice. God doesn't expect perfection overnight. He knows we're not going to be perfect overnight. That's why he's going to come and meet us in the boat and take us to the other side. But he wants you to be ruined. See, he doesn't want you to be perfected. He wants you to be perfecting. And once you are perfecting, he will now come in and get you perfected. Join hands with somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his candles upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life of God satisfy you and show you his salvation in the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you watch and pray always. And so you stand in these end times. You will live and you will not die. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Remember, we start 3-day fast tomorrow. Next week, Sunday, is Thanksgiving. So prepare yourself and come for that. Amen.